listening to the Devoted Dreamers podcast, and I'm your host, Merit Onsa. I believe God has an unfolding plan for your life, a God-shaped dream just for you. But so much gets in the way, right? Fear, comparison, imposter syndrome. What if I mess this up? You are not alone in those feelings, and I'm so glad you're here for season 8. Keep listening to gain some transformational tools that will help you release the lies so that you can freely show up in the world, offering your gifts, leaning on God in your weaknesses, and serving His kingdom with the dream He's given you. Hey, dreamers, happy new year, happy 2021. This is episode 182. It's a solo episode this week, and we are visiting the topic that is the number 3 most requested topic in my Devoted Dreamers Facebook group. As I wrote it in there, it sounds like this: be the woman God made you instead of trying to be the one you admire and wish you were like. Yes, I know this feels like a lesson that well-meaning adults wanted to get across to us in middle school, but we still do it today, right? It is so easy to look out into the world we live in and attempt to define ourselves by what we see. And I'm going to go after this topic from the perspective of 4 mistakes we make and how to correct them from a biblical perspective. And this entire topic speaks to our identity, which we talk about a lot here on the Devoted Dreamers podcast. So if identity is a topic you'd like to hear more on, and if you're kind of new to the show, I will post some links to other episodes I've recorded about identity that you might find helpful. So I will post those in the show notes and in the show description. So once you're done listening to this one, you can go back and listen to some of those and kind of get caught up on where we're at with this subject. But for today's episode, here is mistake number 1. One thing that we do is looking to the things of this world upon which to build our identity. I said that just a minute ago. And this does take me back to middle school and high school so much. I remember so clearly this deep desire to be chosen and to fit in with the popular girls, you know, whatever that means. And I always assumed that none of them felt this thing that I felt, this insecurity. But now, with age and life experience, I know differently. Even the popular girls, maybe even especially the popular girls, struggled with insecurity and identity issues as well. And to be clear, the problem is not in getting a negative response to the question, do I fit in? And if I don't, well, then I just need to either try harder to fit in or change something about myself or accept that I'm kind of a dork and just not the type who fits in with these type of people. That's not the answer, because none of that really settles the ultimate question, because the ultimate question is, where am I finding my value and worth? So we're going to turn this mistake around. Instead of looking to the world to give us our identity, what should we do? We look to Jesus and to God's word about what He says of His people. And so first, I'm going to share some scripture here. Number 1, at the very beginning, in the beginning, in Genesis 1:27, God's word says that we were created in His image. It says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Guess what? You were made to look like God, to resemble Him, to image Him, if you will, to the world. You were made like Him. That means your identity is in Him, right? Not in the world. Secondly, you are His child. John 1:12, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So if you believe in His name, which is really just to say, if you devote yourself to Him, not just to knowing things about God, but to seeking Him and knowing Him personally, if you do that, He's already given you the right to become His child, to call Him Father, to have this tender, intimate, deep relationship with Him. You belong to Him. And then my third verse for this one, 1 John 3:1, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And if that's not enough for you to kind of realize where your identity rests, I really urge you to go dig into Ephesians 1. There are a dozen reminders or explanations of who we are in Christ. And this chunk of scripture, it's incredibly beautiful. And I encourage you, just sit down with your Bible, read it, grab on to one of those words in there that speaks to you, maybe even do a word study on it. Theblueletterbible.com is a great website for that if you're not familiar. But go and read it, repeat that word, those verses over and over and over again out loud to yourself. Write it on your mirror. Remind yourself daily of the inheritance you already have in Christ, with nothing that you have to do to earn it. There is so much freedom in getting clarity on where your identity rests. Okay, mistake number two that we make in kind of trying to figure out who we are in the world and how we end up like being who God made us to be, how we like live that out. The second mistake we make is comparing your gifts and talents to the gifts and talents of others. It is one thing to look at what God has given someone else and appreciate and admire those gifts. It is yet another to see those gifts as a threat to yours, which, little side note here, they aren't a threat to yours. And yet another to wish your gifts away in order that you might have hers. How often do we do that? We see somebody out in the world and we're like, oh, I wish I could be like her. I wish I looked like her or could be such a confident person like her or, you know, public speak in the way that she does with such authority. Like we somehow are kind of accidentally, maybe on purposely, wishing away our own gifts so that we might try somehow futilely attempt to be like somebody else. But when we allow ourselves to live in this mindset of constant comparison, how quickly does it turn into envy, jealousy, disdain, criticism, questioning God? And sister, that is a dangerous place to be, because when you do that, you are calling into question God's sovereignty over your life and over the ways that he created you uniquely, that he purposefully did that, which, by the way, was something that he did before the beginning of time. It wasn't just like an accident. He snapped his fingers and all of a sudden you ended up with brown hair. No, he knows exactly who you are, exactly who he created you to be. But when you compare yourself to someone else or someone else's gifts, you are intentionally living out of a mindset of distrust for God. You're choosing that, to live in a mindset of distrusting God. And to be blunt, this is a dangerous choice. This is allowing the voice of the enemy to rule in your heart rather than allowing the peace of Christ, Colossians 3:15, to rule in your heart and to have a heart of gratitude for what you do have and letting that be what rules in your heart. So while this may not be something that requires examples, you're likely all too familiar with the temptation towards comparison, I want to share a few examples from my own experience, because first, I want you to know that this is not a place of condemnation. Like, we've all been there and I've been there. And so I want to look at a couple of these. The first one, early in my career, this is kind of as it relates to seeing other people's like artistic abilities and endeavors. I have always loved the brilliance of a good graphic designer who can pull together fonts and colors and patterns and make a beautiful end result. I am not that person. I am just not wired that way. I don't decorate my home. I don't really know how to do that. I'm more of a word girl versus a design girl. I spent 12 years as a writer professionally. And no matter how hard I try, the natural gifting for design and art just isn't in me. I might actually, like, maybe I could take a course and pick up a few tips here and there, but I'm not going to be a graphic designer. I'm just not. The other example I want to share with you is my sweet friend, Katie Bulmer. This woman, she's a fellow podcaster, but I found her as a public speaker. She's doing some amazing things on Instagram Reels, on stories, TikTok, all the places. And I just adore her personality. She's fun-loving. She's funny. She's so creative in how she uses these social media tools. And the messaging that she shares with her audience, these are young 20-something women, it is totally on point. This gal is working it. And from an outsider's perspective, it's working. Like, from what I can see on social media, people are really drawn to her. Her audience is drawn to her. And I find myself wishing, like, I would like to be fun and a good dancer and quick-witted and all the things that I see in Katie Bulmer. But the reality is, and what I have to remember from both of these situations, whenever I feel tempted, like, to, you know, whine about why I don't have great art or design skills or why I'm not a good dancer, I have to remember that God made me and made you for a reason and with a purpose, uniquely designed and assigned. Those purposes are assigned with intentionality. So to despise or turn away from what God made is to despise or turn away from God's wisdom and truth. And I love what I've read in his words, specifically in the Passion Translation in Romans 12, and they titled this section, Your Proper Role in the Body of Christ. I want you to go read all of chapter 12 in whole, but here's a little bit of it. These are verses 3-6, the Passion Translation. Honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function, and so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So how can we use this to turn mistake number two around of comparing? If you find yourself stuck in comparison, I need to be real with you. This is a sin. You are basically telling God, hey, I like what you gave that person more than what you gave me. Remember, envy, jealousy, dissatisfaction. This kind of thinking will not only steal your joy over and over and over again, it will work to destroy your testimony for Christ. So the first step is confess your sins to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness, which he freely gives. And then second, you might just have to step away from some things that lead you to temptation, to sin, in the form of comparison. So social media, stop following people that spark comparison in you. And I urge you, be diligent in this. It is not a small thing to openly decide to continue in a cycle of sin. And it is not worth it, because every time it happens, you are pulling yourself away from truth and from the Lord. Ask me how I know. So if the temptation to compare has overtaken you in any way, do what the Bible says and look for a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13, when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The Passion Translation says, each test is an opportunity to trust him, God, more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. So here's a super practical option. Look for the way out. Look for the way of escape. And I've got another story for you, a real life experience that has made such a difference for me in how I kind of tackle comparison in my own heart. And it started with something that actually had nothing to do with my own God-shaped dream, which I think was actually kind of helpful for me for it not to be so closely connected to that. Maybe it just felt a little bit less vulnerable if it wasn't connected to my dream. Before COVID, it was my weekly ritual to attend a Friday morning yoga class at our rec center. And I love this teacher. I was loyal to this class. It was such a strength-building endeavor for me after the birth of my two kids. It was a life changer, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and of course, physically, to get to go to this class every week while my kids went to the rec center childcare. But if you've spent much time in yoga classes, you understand when I say that there's always that girl who looks amazing. She does all the poses with so much strength and grace. If she falls, she even falls gracefully. And you find yourself like obsessing and staring at her form more than even the instructor. Well, there I was in this class. This was like maybe 6-9 months, somewhere in there, after my first child was born. I hadn't been to a good yoga class in maybe 7 or 8 years. And I hadn't honestly been working out very much. I think maybe I started working out at 6 months postpartum. But that girl was there. And for some reason that morning, my heart was in a decent place. I watched her work hard. It looked effortless on her, while the class felt incredibly difficult in my body. But this postpartum season was one in which I was actually learning this practice of being kind to myself and the voice in my head, especially about my own body after pregnancy. And I knew, I mean, logically, I could not do physically the things that I had done before. It was frustrating to be in this class and not be able to do the things I wanted to do, not be where I wanted to be physically. But this day, I chose kindness and gentle words for myself. And as I watched this woman, when I ordinarily would have begun to compare myself, I felt this very clear prompting to choose differently and to celebrate in my heart what God was doing in her. I don't remember the exact words, but it kind of felt something like, wow, look at her. God is doing something beautiful in her. Look how strong he created her body. Look at how she does that pose. Cheers. Like, of course, I'm not saying this out loud in a yoga class, but it was what I was feeling inside of me. And it came from a heart of true appreciation instead of a heart of comparison, instead of going down that road of despair in my own mind. And it was such a relief compared to the alternative. And I made a point after class to just make this like quick but sincere remark to her, like, hey, good job. Like, you did great in class today, or something simple like that. But I wanted to celebrate her and also to solidify in my own heart that this was a practice that I want to continue. So I don't know if I could say I was like super conscious of this choice right before me at the time, but I recall what it felt like so clearly, that every time I'm tempted to go there again to compare or to feel dissatisfaction with what I have, I remind myself that I get to make a different choice. I get to thank God for what he's given me. I get to thank him for what he's given the other person, like his grace in her life or their lives. I get to thank him for who he is, for his sovereignty in my life and in theirs. And that practice, that constant choice of going a different direction with my mind, it has become a way of escape from comparison for me. All right, that was a long one. Here's mistake number three: forgetting that the gifts you have are from God. So like my example about not being that good at graphic design, when I have focused on my lack, it has stolen from me the joy that God has actually given me different gifts than he's given someone else. So this is for you. Would you pause for a minute, even if it means like pausing this podcast episode so that you can think about it wherever you are, or if you have a journal or notebook nearby, here's a couple of questions I'd like you to ask yourself. First, what has God sown into you? What has he knit in to you when he created you in your mother's womb? Things that he knew you were going to be good at, excel at, just naturally flourish in. What are those things? So question number two, what do other people tell you you're good at? Okay, I hope you've taken some time to think that through or make a few notes in your journal. And it's possible that you don't see these things as gifts or as anything special to be celebrated because they seem like ordinary run-of-the-mill things to you. You do them all the time. They're pretty easy for you. And it seems like sometimes we either downplay our gifts because we don't recognize them as gifts, or we downplay them because of false humility. You ever heard that term? We don't really want to seem like we're bragging, so we play down our gifts or we deflect encouragement that comes our way. But guess what? Neither of these options is a biblical response. We're going to go back to Romans 12 again. This is still the Passion Translation, verses 4 through 6. These are a repeat. So if you've heard them before, yes, I did say them a minute ago. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. And here's the new verse. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So I'm going to pull out some of the phrases. Many parts, each with a unique function. We are many, but mingled into one body. Vitally joined, each contributing to the others. And gifts that are uniquely ours. God gives you your gifts for a reason. He gives them to you with a unique function. You are part of a bigger picture. Your gifts are meant to work together. And the word vitally in quotes, like they're needed. They're part of the body. They are uniquely yours. And I think it stands to reason that based on what Scripture says, no one has the exact same gifts you have at the exact same competency levels or experience or alongside the same personality. You are one of a kind. Your gifts matter. Isn't that amazing? So if you've made mistake number 3, forgetting that the gifts you have are from God, here's how we turn that around. Confess to God where you've neglected or disdained what he's given you, or blown it off, whatever. And if you don't really, like really honestly, don't know what your gifts are, spend some time learning what they are and then name them. I mean, ask people who know you well, take a spiritual gifts test, pray to God and ask him what they are. Consider the things that you're drawn to, maybe even why you're drawn to them, whether that's life experience or just some sort of gut feeling. But once you do figure them out, commit to growing in them and asking the Lord to help you with that. And if you're still at a loss, like just pray. It's like, Lord, would you just please reveal it? I don't know. And he will. You might have to wait, but he will reveal it. And then either way, accept the praise that others offer who see God's gifting in you, say thank you when they offer the praise, and then praise the Lord in your heart as the giver of all good gifts. Recognize that they are from him. And mistake number 4, forgetting that your gifts are to be used. By the way, why aren't you using your gifts? Well, there's lots of reasons, right? Maybe you haven't felt confident in the gifts that God has given you, or you're fearful about stepping into something God has called you to because, boy, that feels a little bit scary. He's God. Or maybe like you fear failure, like it's not going to go the way that you hope. Or you might even fear success, that it's going to exceed your expectations and you are going to be at a total loss for what to do with that. Or maybe you're just distracted. And I will say, I am easily prone to distraction. And I have a recent example for you. This one just kind of popped into my head as I was working on this episode. But there is a new iPhone app out called Clubhouse. Maybe you've heard of it, but a good chunk of Christian podcasters I know are dipping their toes in the water right now to test this out. And it sounds like this really cool idea. It's an app that offers the opportunity to host something like a group conversation that's more like a phone call or a discussion, maybe even a focus group, but it's audio only. And it's a big reason podcasters are talking about it, you know, these audiophile folks that we are. But there are 2 barriers for me joining Clubhouse right now. Barrier number 1, you have to be invited by someone who has an account because it's in beta. Not that big of a deal. I've just said I know a bunch of people who have it. Barrier number two, you have to have an iPhone. This is a much bigger deal. I'm an Android girl. I do have an iPad, but this app is still in beta version. It doesn't seem to work with an iPad, or at least I can't seem to figure it out. Over the holidays, as people seemed like they had a bit more time on their hands, I kept seeing these conversations in podcasting Facebook groups about people joining Clubhouse or asking for invites to Clubhouse. And this was such a distraction to me, mostly like in my heart. I started to reach out to friends who I thought could invite me. Of course, this was before I realized that the iPad thing wasn't going to work out. But I was trading messages in the middle of the night with cyber friends on the other side of the country, trying to figure out, like, could you invite me? Or did you try to invite me? Or what happened? You couldn't find me. Even though I'd signed up, they said they couldn't find me in the app. So, you know, spinning my wheels, feeling frustrated. I knew I was missing out on these fun podcasts or meetups that were happening. People were also talking about how to use Clubhouse with your audience. Oh, boy, do I want that. Like, I would love to sit and chat with you. But over a matter of days, here I am spinning my wheels. I feel like a little bit of desperation, like off and on, the more I let my mind engage in it, trying to figure this thing out that's never going to work for me until, you know, someday they have an Android version. But oh dear, I'd already be left behind. The FOMO, you know the drill. In the end, all of this was entirely futile. And I finally just lost all my steam for trying to figure it out. And then I saw a few of those friends comment that Clubhouse maybe was a little bit of a time suck, that they were spending a lot of their free time over the holidays talking in Clubhouse. And all of a sudden I realized, oh Lord, thank you. Maybe not being able to get in there was a form of protection. Sure, maybe this tool might be a good thing one day, but right now is not the right time for me. Right now, I have some super clear priorities. I already know what they are. And it's not that I couldn't use my gifts. If I were to get into Clubhouse, I probably still could. But my real purpose, my real priorities right now are to use my gifts to step out of my comfort zone, to create something new that I've never done before. And I've committed so much to doing this that I've joined a group coaching program to help me get there. So why in the world am I concerned with Clubhouse? Distraction. It's a distraction because it's easier than leaving your comfort zone. It's easier to let yourself be distracted than testing out something that might fail. It's easier to just let the river flow beneath you and never whip out your paddle to try to go in a direction that might require some additional labor, sweat, investment of time, energy, and yes, risk. So how do we turn mistake number four around of forgetting to use your gifts? Well, whatever the reason, whether it's lack of confidence, fear, distraction, here's how we turn it around. See your gifts for what they are and ask God to really help you see that. I want you to go back to Romans 12 and I want you to read that whole section again, starting at verse 3. But when it gets to verse 6 through 8, it's going to name some gifts. And it gives some really clear but simple instructions. So listen to this part. We haven't read this yet. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the portion of faith that you have to prophecy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. And in my notes, I highlighted in bold the words that said what to do if you have this gift. And I'm just going to read those now. Using the proportion of your faith, thrive in serving others, be actively teaching and training, use it often, may you prosper, be passionate, and flourish in your cheerful display. What's this saying? This is saying use your gifts and ask for God's help if you don't know how your gifts are best used, but then take him at his word that he wants you to use them and that not using them is an act of disobedience. Because scripture just said right there to use them and told you how. And here's a little side note. If you shrink back at that word disobedience, I want to help you reframe that. Disobedience feels like something you would have gotten in trouble for as a kid, right? I get that. But when it comes to God, and if you're a child of God, if your identity is secure in Him, why not think of God's commands or the choice that we have to obey Him as really, really clear instruction for those of us who are easily distracted, who get confused about our calling, who feel fearful or overwhelmed. It is a very clear calling. If you're distracted, confused, fearful, or overwhelmed, go back to what God says we are to do with our gifts. If there is something He's called you to, impassioned you with, if He's telling you to use it, He's saying, daughter, take this and run. I'm on your side. I'm with you. And with me, you cannot fail. The reality in my mind of coming across scripture, something that God wants me to do, it eliminates so many of the other options that the enemy could use to distract me and attempt to keep me from God's will for my life. Because remember, the enemy does not want you to flourish or succeed or thrive or use your gifts. So take it as a challenge that because the Spirit of the living God is in you, you have the power and dare I say you have the charge to enact the gifts that the living God has given you in order that His kingdom might come here on earth. This is powerful. This is exciting. Yes, it's a little overwhelming, but it's worth it, isn't it, to live as He's called you to live, to be who He made you to be instead of someone else, which honestly really isn't even possible, right? To recap what we've talked about today, turning mistake number one around when you look to worldly things for your identity. Instead of that, we look to Jesus and to God's word to give us answers about who we are. Turning mistake number two around of comparing your gifts to others, look for the way of escape. In a lot of cases, it will mean turning off those inputs or finding ways to celebrate the gifts of another person when you're tempted to compare. Turning mistake number three around, forgetting your gifts are from God, confess where you've neglected what He's given you and praise Him as the giver of all good gifts. And turning mistake number four around, neglecting to use your gifts for whatever reason, simply use your gifts. Ask for His help if you don't know how they are best used, and then take Him at His word that He wants you to use them and that not using them is an act of disobedience, that He's going to show you how. But the step is yours to take. Thank you so much for listening today. This is such a joy. I'm so grateful for your suggestions about solo episodes. I would love to hear your thoughts, reactions, and questions about this topic as they arise. Thanks for listening today. Don't let the conversation end here. Let's connect over in the Devoted Dreamers Insiders Group on Facebook. We're building a sweet community of dreamers so no one has to walk this road alone. You can find the group at bit.ly/dreamergroup. I'll see you in there.